WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Thursday, June 23rd, 2016, and today is NBA Draft Day. That's right. How exciting is that? And there are two Michigan State men's basketball players that are out in New York as we speak, hoping and praying to hear their names called by NBA Commissioner Adam Silver at that podium. And guess what, folks? We'll have one of those potential NBA players on today's show later on in the hour. We will be chatting with the one, the only, Denzel Valentine, former MSU men's basketball star. He will be on the show for about 10 minutes or so to talk about how he has been preparing for the draft, what he's going to wear tonight. He'll address the concerns about his knee, which it was revealed in an MRI dating back in May that there may be some problems there. It's been a bit frustrating for Denzel to have to answer questions, those questions concerning his knee leading up to draft day. So we'll chat it up with Denzel. You don't want to miss that. We will also give you our very own Current Sports mock draft as we will go through our predictions on the top 20 picks of this year's draft and throw out a few sleepers as well. And we'll also even list the top draft bust of all time. That should be a fun one. We encourage you all to be a part of today's show. You know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also join us on social media via facebook.com/currentsports or even by tweeting me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with news that broke yesterday concerning Michigan State, former Michigan State men's basketball star Denzel Valentine. Valentine added to his list of collegiate awards yesterday. It was announced that Valentine won the Big Ten Male Athlete of the Year award. Pretty cool stuff. Valentine became the third Michigan State athlete to win the Big Ten's Jesse Owens Male Athlete of the Year award, joining fellow men's basketball standout Draymond Green, who won it back in 2012, and hockey goalie Ryan Miller back in 2001. Valentine averaged a little over 19 points per game, 7 boards per game, and 7.8 assists per game as a senior en route to winning 6 National Player of the Year awards and being named Big Ten Men's Basketball Player of the Year and the Julius Erving Small Forward of the Year award as well. The 6'5", 220-pound guard and Lansing Sexton High graduate is in New York preparing for tonight's NBA draft, and he will join us via phone later on this hour. You do not want to miss it. And the NBA draft, again, is taking place tonight. The draft is being held at the Barclays Center in BK. The draft begins at 8 p.m. and can be found on ESPN. Two former Michigan State Spartans, Deontay Davis and Valentine, were invited to the Green Room earlier this week. The Green Room is a special room at the draft sites for invited top prospects to await their selection with their families and, of course, agents. The Detroit Pistons hold 2 picks in this year's draft, the 18th and 49th overall. In more NBA news, yesterday the New York Knicks announced they had acquired former number 1 overall pick Derrick Rose in a trade with the Chicago Bulls. New York traded center Robin Lopez, guard Jose Calderon, and guard Jerian Grant to the shot. With ship guard Justin Holiday, Rose and a 2017 second-round pick back to New York. Now the Knicks, whose starting point guards averaged a league-low 7.6 points per game in 2015-16, were known to be looking for help at point guard. And despite Rose's history of injury, he played well enough in the later parts of the year for the Knicks to make a move for the former MVP. That should be interesting. Rose and Melo. All right. Former Illinois guard Kendrick Nunn confirmed with the Detroit Free Press yesterday that he will be joining the Oakland Golden Grizzlies. Big move. That's a power move right there. Nunn averaged 15.5 points per game and 5 boards last year as a junior. And per NCAA transfer rules, we'll have to sit out next year. Nunn was kicked off the Illinois basketball team last month after he pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor battery charge following a domestic violence arrest. Nunn said he chose Oakland because it is the program that, quote, sets me up for the next level. We'll also give you guys an update from the Michigan Amateur Championship, which is taking place throughout this entire week over at Eagle Eye Golf Course. We'll give you a preview of the leaderboard in just a second. The Detroit Tigers topped the Seattle Mariners yesterday, 5-1, behind 2 homers from Steven Moya. Now, Miguel Cabrera, Miggy, also had a home run. And the Tigers pitching, starting, and bullpen had an all-around pretty solid outing. The Tigers are taking on the Mariners again today in about 4 minutes. First pitch set for 1:10 p.m. down in Comerica Park. Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford's wife, Kelly, announced yesterday via Instagram that she will help judge the tryouts this weekend. Lions spokesperson Ben Mangus said Stafford will be one of 6 judges for the first round tryouts that begin at 8 a.m. Saturday at Ford Field. The panel will judge the performance part of the audition and help determine who gets called back for the semifinal round of tryouts, which will take place on Sunday. Kelly Stafford was a former cheerleader herself at the University of Georgia. So Kelly is not just scouting to make sure that a certain cheerleader or two does not holler at her man. She is a legit cheerleader, former cheerleader at the University of Georgia. So I get it, Kelly. Do your thing. All right, the United States men's soccer team will face Colombia this Saturday in the consolation match of the Copa American tournament in Glendale, Arizona. Now, the match, which will determine 3rd and 4th place, was set up by the U.S. in their 4-0 loss against Argentina and Colombia's 2-0 loss against Chile. Now, the match will take place at 8 p.m. on Saturday and can be found on FX. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. You guys know that number to call in, 517-355-WKAR. Again, 517-355-9527. Visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports. You can weigh in by shooting me a comment there, or again, tweet me, or just follow me, for goodness sakes. I'm trying to get my followers up, all right? Follow me at AlMartinWKAR. So much to get to, so little time. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the 1984 NBA Draft. The Houston Rockets select Hakeem Olajuwon, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley of Auburn University.
The Orlando Magic selects Shaquille O'Neal,
Dwayne Wade,
Scott Pippen, Blake Griffin.
You know, it's pretty cool to hear it, isn't it?
It is. Okay, very cool.
Dwight Howard, Gary Payton, Kevin Durant.
This guy doesn't even know which way is up.
Tim Duncan, Dirk Nowitzki from Würzburg, Germany.
Yao Ming from Shanghai, China.
Karl Malone.
The Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant,
David Robinson,
Allen Iverson.
Boy, it's a good looking group. David Stern.
Steve Nash.
Jason Kidd.
Patrick Ewing.
Kevin Garnett.
LeBron James.
All right, I'm going to conduct the draft in this after I announce you, okay?
All right. I mean, if anybody can do it, you can.
All right. Okay. What are you laughing at?
The way to dribble up and down the court, just like I'm the king on the
phone. So it's Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks, take me to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley oop. I like the pick and roll, I like the give and go. Cause it's basketball, but Mr. Kirch's flow.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Thanks so much, Curtis Blow. It's one of my favorite all-time hip-hop joints of all time. That's just a great song. I mean, you mix two of my favorite things, hip-hop and hoops. You can't get any better. That's a hit right there, all right? Welcome to the show. It's going to be a fun one today, folks. We've got a thrilling hour between 1 and 2. In store for all of our listeners out there, all of our viewers via our Facebook live stream. Seeing as though tonight, there are many young pups that are hoping, wishing, praying to hear their names called by Adam Silver, who is the commissioner of the National Basketball Association. I wanted to start, though, with that first montage before we got into Curtis because you heard the voice of David Stern, former commissioner prior to Adam Silver of the National Basketball Association. And I used to love, you know, watching David Stern go up and either get booed or cheered. There was a time where David got cheered by the respective crowd wherever the NBA draft was being held at. And man, oh man, did he get the chance to birth the NBA careers of some great ones. Yeah. You heard a few of the names: Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson. I mean, we can go on and on. You know what? Trivia here. I want to ask this to Isaac really briefly here before I go on my spill about the draft. Isaac, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, do you know, and I'm putting you on the spot here, but do you know who is the very first name that David Stern got the chance to announce at the NBA draft back in the 80s?
Was it not Hakeem?
Boom. Nailed it. I knew Isaac would not knock it out of the park. Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon was the very first name that David Stern got to announce at the podium. That's incredible. I mean, Hakeem the Dream, probably my favorite big man of all time. He was just, I mean, the reason why I say Hakeem is my favorite is because he had, there was nothing Hakeem couldn't do down low. He had a multiple repertoire of what he could pull off. We all know about the playoff game between the San Antonio Spurs against the Admiral David Robinson, where he just hit him with the Dream Shake about 50 times throughout that entire night. And the famous call, you know, the Admiral saying, "What must I do?" He just couldn't figure him out. So, yeah, that was the very first name that David Stern got to announce. And now, of course, the reins have been and the keys to the car have been handed over to Adam Silver, who I think is doing a spectacular job as the NBA's commissioner dating back to, of course, this is like his third year now, back to 2013. So and there was a moment where Adam Silver, he was introduced as commissioner, and during the 2013 draft, that was the last time that David Stern went out to the podium to announce the various names that made their NBA dreams come true. After the first round, David Stern turned it over to Adam. And right before he did that, he actually brought out Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon, and they shook hands and embraced. So that was a very cool moment. But tonight, folks, to bring a local feel to this thing, of course, Denzel Valentine and Deontay Davis are the two local players that balled out right here in Michigan at Michigan State University. And it's being slated by multiple mock drafts out there. And we're going to dive into our Current Sports mock draft in just a second. I think it's pretty safe to say that Denzel Valentine and Deontay Davis are going to be first-round draft picks. And every draft board I see out there, though, has Deontay Davis being picked ahead of Denzel Valentine. And that alone just kind of puts in perspective, as I've stated before, it just kind of puts in perspective just what the NBA draft looks for when it comes to NBA executives out there. It's all about potential. It's all about ceiling. It's all about plug and play at the end of the day. And again, it's very hard to find a polished big man in the NBA today because to be honest with you, the game is evolving and changing so much, but at the same time, you just don't have many of them anymore. I got to be honest. I mean, I think, you know, you can make an argument that probably the best big man out there as far as from a dominance perspective is maybe what? And just talking about what that big man does in the paint, you may have to go with Dwight Howard. And I'm not a big fan of Dwight Howard. I'm just not. I think Dwight Howard has always been, throughout his entire NBA career, really overrated. So it's becoming a guard league now. When you start to see that in the college game, you can find a guard. That's no problem. There's plenty of guards out there. But to find a polished big man is so rare. So rare and ideally maybe a bit more valued than a guard. Because guards, I mean, again, you can find one down the street probably. So, but Denzel Valentine, you know, to put it makes no sense to me though, because Denzel Valentine, this is a kid who when you look at his body of work at Michigan State, specifically his senior season at Michigan State. Again, as I stated at the very first topic of our quick hit headliners. Again, he just adds to his long list of collegiate awards yesterday with it being announced that he is now the Big Ten's Jesse Owens Male Athlete of the Year. And get this, he won six, yes, count them, six National Player of the Year awards. He was also named Big Ten Men's Basketball Player of the Year and the Julius Erving Small Forward of the Year. Yet, Deontay Davis, who was so inconsistent, who was a one-and-done player, who certainly, you know, could have used a few more years here at Michigan State to polish and hone his game, Deontay Davis is going to be taken above Denzel Valentine. It makes no sense. So I'm curious, though, folks, where do you think Denzel Valentine and Deontay Davis will go in tonight's draft? I'm curious, what do you think the Pistons will do with the 18th overall pick in the first round? And I'm curious, what does your top five or top 10 look like? So, again, it's a draft day special here on WKAR's Current Sports. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And also, if you leave a comment via our Facebook page, I will read whatever comments you have on there. And if you want to list who you think your top five, what the top five will look like tonight or the top 10 will look like, I will read those picks on the air as well. So let's dive right into it. But really, before we do, though, Isaac, I mean, what do you love the most about, you know, the NBA draft night?
Well, and you saw me walk in today with a huge grin just pasted onto my face. One of our best conversations ever, actually, I think, came last draft day in last year, because you and I had a huge debate and feud going about Stanley Johnson. So I love draft day, but my favorite thing would probably be seeing all the different attire that people wear. Some of the most outrageous suits that you'll ever see are on display draft night, and seeing the guys walk up there and, you know, kissing their mom on the cheek, going shaking hands with the commissioner. It's a pretty cool night. And actually, I'm working on an article right now about it. And I basically compared it to a prom night part two. Because you come in, you're dressed all sorts of extravagantly and stuff like that. And then you end up leaving with a year-long relationship.
Yeah, I like that.
Prom night part two.
And some don't, you know.
And some don't work out. That's
right,
the thing.
Exactly. I like that. That's a very good analogy. I like that a lot, Isaac. All right, so let's dive right into it. Our current sports NBA mock draft special. What we are going to do is go through the top 20 picks. I mean, if we were to go through the entire first round, we'll be here forever, right? And we don't want to go into the second round. That'd just be just craziness. We could do a whole hour on that. But I just want to go and focus on the top 20 picks and maybe throw out a few sleepers here and there. So let's dive right into it. Let's go with the number one overall pick first, Isaac. I think every report I've seen out there now is basically confirming that Ben Simmons, small forward out of LSU, Simmons is going to be the consensus number one overall pick, and that pick is held by the one, the only, Philadelphia 76ers. No surprise here. Ben Simmons is a freak of nature. He's one of those players you look at, and he can do so many things, and you couple that with his size, pretty good basketball instincts. He's one of those guys that can come into an NBA franchise that is struggling, like the Philadelphia 76ers, and can breathe life into that franchise and possibly turn that franchise around. That is something desperately that Philly needs right now. We all know about how bad this team has been in recent years. So I think this is a no-brainer. Ben Simmons will be tonight's number one overall pick.
And this has basically been announced already. But yeah, when you look at Simmons, this is a guy who's a juggernaut of the game. He can rebound. He's one of the best big men passers I've ever seen. And the way he scores, it's effortless. So no, he should be the number one pick. Maybe a few problems and questions with his character. But at the same time, skill-wise, the comparison is LeBron James. When you're compared to LeBron James, you're going to get a LeBron James type of pick, which is number one overall.
Yeah, LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Yeah, no, I love Simmons. I think he's going to be a fantastic player. And, you know, you talked about his character. I think that was, this is my opinion, I think it was kind of blown out of proportion to a degree. Again, Simmons is young. You know, he's a freshman at LSU. He's still becoming a man at the end of the day. I think he said some things that he certainly regretted when it comes to his academics at LSU. I think the kid will be fine, though. I think he will be. And he watching Simmons talk, you know, Simmons, when I listen to him talk, he kind of reminds me of Brandon Jones at East Lansing. I don't know. You know,
I can see that.
Like, you know,
yeah.
When you watch his interviews, he reminds me so much of Brandon Jones at EL. Steve Fenimore's stout prospect. He'll be a heck of a player wherever he goes when he decides to go to college. But you know, he's so eloquent when he talks. I mean, Ben Simmons is not afraid to hold back his tongue, and when he talks, I mean, it's not like some of these athletes. You ask him a question, and it's like we played good because we didn't play bad. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, dude. So I love Simmons a lot. I'm looking forward to him. Number two. The L.A. Lakers had the number two overall pick. Again, you know, this was a franchise that has been really been retooling and rebuilding for quite some time now. When looking at the back end of Kobe Bryant's career, Kobe Bryant is now retired, and they are focused toward the future now. I think, you know, and this is no-brainer as well. I think Brandon Ingram, small forward from Duke, is going to be that guy. I think what Brandon brings you when you look at this, it's no surprise, I think, if the 76ers did not take – you know, Ben Simmons, you know, you could go back and forth with this. I mean, they would have taken Brandon Ingram, you know, and vice versa. But what I love about Brandon Ingram is that he's such a great shooter. He's so long and lengthy. You know, this is an athlete who shot, 41% from three-point range in 1 year at Duke. And, you know, you talk about the comparisons when it comes to Ben Simmons to LeBron James. Brandon Ingram, you hear Kevin Durant's name in his same sentence a lot.
And you should. I mean, Brandon Ingram, 6'11", you mentioned it. And the length also helps him out so much on defense as well. He is such a promising defender, and he was so good in his one season at Duke. He can block you from behind. He also stays in front pretty well. And the guy's got good ball handling skills, too. Can play the guard or the three. I like him.
Number three, the Boston Celtics. And this thing with the Celtics, they need desperately shooters. The Celtics did not shoot very well last year. And when you look at the prospects coming out of this year's draft, and I think there's layers to it. I think there's, you know, you got Ingram and Simmons and then everybody else.
Agreed.
You know, for me, I think there's a big, you know, drop off after those two in this year's NBA draft, but still a lot of talent out there nonetheless. I think the Celtics are going to go with Jamal Murray, shooting guard from Kentucky. I really like this kid because he's a shooter. Again, this is what the Celtics need. They weren't great last year. And, you know, looking at his workout, he made 79 of 100 three-point attempts during a recent workout with the Celtics in a performance that really suggests that there's nothing fluky about the 40.8, you know, percent that he shot from three-point range in one season at Kentucky. I like this kid a lot.
And he also came off screen shooting 65%, by far the best mark in the nation. But I don't think the Celtics go with him because I think they're already set in the guard position. I think the Celtics instead go with Jaylen Brown, small forward out of Cal Berkeley, because Evan Turner, who was a big part of their playoff run last year, is now a free agent. I think they're going to try to replace him. I think Jaylen Brown has the highest ceiling of any remaining players. A lot of question marks, but I also think the Celtics could try to ship this pick. And Jaylen Brown, I think, is the best way to do that.
Now, I like Jaylen Brown, and I like him a lot when you look at his game. But I think Jaylen Brown falls. Not out of the top 10, but I think he falls. And I'll tell you where in just a second. Number four, the Phoenix Suns. I think that the Suns really are impressed with Dragan Bender, power forward out of Israel. I like Bender a lot. He's widely regarded as the top draft-eligible prospect who didn't play college basketball this year, and there's little doubt that he will not be selected in the top half of this draft. And I want to say this, though. Boston has scouted Bender extensively. He has been there for workouts, and from reports that I read, the Celtics really like Bender. So I could see Bender maybe taking it at number three, but if not, you better believe that the Suns are going to hop on this 18-year-old power forward who really should develop into a nice stretch four in today's NBA.
Bender anywhere from 3 to 7, I can see him going, but I see him ending up going the same place as you, the Phoenix Suns, because they're committed to that international brand, and they like growing their players. You saw Alex Len also be drafted by the Suns recently. I think Dragan Bender, the reason for his ascendancy is actually Kristaps Porzingis. Very similar players, and I think you could go either way with who will be the better player, but it's a risky pick. This is a team that can afford to take some risk. They've got a ways to go.
Yeah, they certainly can. All right, number five, the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think the Timberwolves draft Buddy Hield out of Oklahoma. I like Buddy Hield a lot, of course. Shooting guard from Oklahoma, from the Bahamas as well. He's the reigning CBS Sports National Player of the Year. Probably the best shooter in this draft. He'll be a great addition to a Minnesota team that was ranked 25th. 25th in three-point shooting this year, and they finished the year off 29-53. I love this Minnesota team, though, especially under the tutelage of Tom Thibodeau. They're on the up and up, and I think Hill can help them out a lot.
Well, and the name you just mentioned, Tom Thibodeau, is why I've got to disagree with you here. I think they go Chris Dunn out of Providence, a feisty point guard with really an affinity for the defensive side of the ball, and I think that's something that the Timberwolves have missed a little bit with Zach LaVine starting next to Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio is a good defender, but he's not as up and tight as somebody like Dunn is. Dunn actually had a quote, he wants to guard the best guy on the court every single time. I think that's a good fit for Minnesota.
Yeah, and I actually, when it comes to Ricky Rubio, he's got to be way more, he's got to be consistent. You know what I mean? Ricky Rubio was way too up and down this past year, and I think your boy Chris Dunn actually falls to your New Orleans Pelicans, who has the next pick in the NBA draft at number six. Again, you know, Anthony Davis, he's played, what, 4 years for the Pelicans. He's missed the playoffs, what, 3 out of the 4 years,
yes.
You know, and it's just been so tough. I know, right? And they've had so many injuries last year. And, you know, Anthony Davis has still never won a postseason game. So, you know, Dunn is somebody who I think, you know, you talk about plug-and-play player. I think he may be the best plug-and-play prospect in this draft. He's got great instincts as a point guard. He could start on opening night if the Pelicans need him to start opening night. And I could also see a great duo between Dunn and Davis out in New Orleans. So you think Chris goes earlier than that to the Timberwolves. So who do you think they'll pick with the number six
pick? So I've got Jamal Murray finally off the board right here. And this is a personal preference as well. I think Jamal Murray's got some of the highest potential in the draft. I think he's almost a sure thing. You mentioned a guy who scored 20 points a game in his freshman year, shot over 40%, was so good coming off screens, and that's without elite athleticism or length or anything like that. I think this guy only develops. I think he's the perfect complement in the backcourt for Drew Holiday, who I think the Pelicans will stick with and try to trade Tyreek Evans. So, no, I've got to go Jamal Murray right there.
Number seven, the Denver Nuggets. I'm going with Marquese Chriss, power forward out of Washington. I think the Nuggets will grab him. Now, you know, it's crazy when you look at Chriss, though, because his rise in draft boards is pretty historic, Isaac, in the sense that he could and likely will become the first one-and-done prospect to be selected in the top 10 after not being ranked in the top 50 of his high school class. He's always played with a chip on his shoulder, and I think he has a very high ceiling. I like Chris out of Washington. I think he'll be a great addition for the Nuggets.
Yeah, I like that pick. I think the Nuggets definitely go big. I think Chris is one name you can throw out there. I also think Deontay Davis, but I think they go another way since they've almost got that position set. I think they go pure superstar or bust here with Scal Labissiere from Kentucky, a guy who didn't have that great and that prodigious of a first season at Kentucky, only averaged 6 points a game, but his length and his potential is as good as anybody in the draft. I think Scal goes to the Nuggets.
Number eight, the Sacramento Kings. I think that's where Jaylen Brown falls, a shooting guard out of California, Isaac. And the reason why I say that is because you mentioned those question marks. There are a lot of question marks when it comes to Jaylen Brown, even though the talent is there, without a doubt. And that's the reason why I think he's going to be a top 10 pick. But, you know, when you look at you know, the question marks out there. And I actually put a few of them in my notes here. You know, why didn't he close more strongly at Cal? Is he coachable or a young guy who thinks he already has the answers? He plays with a bit of cockiness when he's out there. And these are questions that scouts are asking when it looks at, you know, when I'm looking at the various articles out there. So I think he's a bit of a risk, but his talent is just raw. That's why I think he falls to the Kings.
I've got Buddy Hield going to the Kings, and let me tell you why. It's because Buddy Hield, people hate drafting seniors early. There's this stigma that once you're a senior, you no longer have potential. So I think Buddy Hield drops all the way to number 8, and I think that's a great place for Sacramento to find him at, because Sacramento is a team that's been committed to drafting shooters. They drafted Jimmer Fredette. They also drafted Nick Stauskas, and I think now they draft Buddy Hield. They try to really bolster that backcourt, and they need some shooting if they're going to stick with the Rajon Rondo project, because we all know that guy can't hit the wide side of a barn from 10 feet away. So They need some shooting on the perimeter. Buddy Hield can give them that.
All right, number 9. Let's wrap these last two picks up and hear our first break, and we'll come and give the later half of our top 20 NBA draft picks. Number 9, Toronto Raptors. I think they go with Henry Ellison, power forward / center, out of Marquette. And the reason why I say that is Toronto has a desperate need at power forward, I think, which makes Ellison an option. Now, the one-and-done prospect from Marquette is only 19, and though he didn't shoot a good percentage from beyond the arc in college, he has tools to be a stretch four in the NBA. He's polished. I like him a lot. So I think that's where Ellison lands. And number 10 with the Milwaukee Bucks, I think I'm going to go with Jacob Poeltl of power forward out of Utah. The Bucks would like to see Ellison fall, I think, though, if Ellison does not get chosen in the prior 9 picks, I think the Bucks will go with Ellison. But if Poeltl was on the board, he's a good fit. He's a big who plays big, and you know, proof being that 94% of his buckets this past year came from around the rim.
Number 9, Toronto, I've got going Marquese Chriss. I don't think they need the stretch four quite as much, just because they already have Patrick Patterson, who can, of course, step back and shoot the three. So I've got Chris. I think the guy's got tremendous upside, and, you know, I just think he's a good fit at that position. Number 10, and finally, an MSU player's off the board. I think Deonte Davis goes number 10 to the Milwaukee Bucks, because that way they've got two different units that they can alternate. Greg Monroe and Jabari Parker for offense whenever they need it at the big man position, and then Deonte Davis and John Henson on defense. That is formidable.
Dig that. All right, so you got Michigan State players going pretty early then.
Number 10. I've got one going pretty
early. Oh, you got
early.
One going pretty early. Okay, gotcha. All right, because you mentioned Deonte Davis.
Deonte Davis, number 10.
At number 10. Okay, so you think Valentine, you go, well, yeah. But that's ideally how it will go in this draft. I mean, yeah, Deonte Davis is clearly going to be chosen before Denzel Valentine, I think. So, all right, I think they go in the later part. We'll get to that in just a second. This is our first break. Come back. We'll breeze through the second half of our current sports mock draft and invite Denzel Valentine live on the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKER's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. The NBA draft takes place tonight in Brooklyn, New York at the Barclays Center. Should be an exciting night. Always an exciting night. And, of course, two Spartans are hoping to hear their names called by Commissioner Adam Silver, Denzel Valentine, and Deonte Davis. And we hope to have Denzel Valentine on the show around the 140-145 mark, live from New York. Right now, throughout this hour, there is a lunch with the commissioner that Denzel Valentine is currently at right now with his agent and family and friends. And Denzel's family took off for New York early on in the week. I've been texting Carlton Valentine, Denzel's dad, off and on throughout this entire week. And Carlton is excited. I can only imagine. I mean, to see your son that you put the ball in his crib, all right? And, you know, Carlton coached him when he was at Lansing. Sexton, he coached both of his sons, both Denzel and Drew, and we all know about the success that Denzel had at Lansing. Sexton, winning state championships there, and you know, and how close they are. I remember my very first feature story I did when I was an intern in college was centered on Denzel Valentine, and I remember walking in the gym and seeing Denzel shoot jumpers with his pops. I remember seeing Bryn Forbes and Anthony Clemens on the side just chatting it up. I didn't even know who those two even were. And, you know, I sat down with Denzel, and I remember saying to myself, this kid has it. You know, he's got the right mentality because he's been raised right, the right way by his parents. And chatting with his dad, he's always been a close friend of mine, dating back to that moment. So wishing Denzel the best. And, again, we plan on having Denzel Valentine a part of our show around the 145 mark, so you don't want to miss it. All right, well, let's breeze through. We just went through our top 10 picks. I know we got Mike from Saginaw on line one right now. I'm going to breeze through the picks 11 through 20. Just give team and name on this part here, Isaac. So this is how I think it'll pan out on picks 11 through 20. Number 11, the Orlando Magic will choose Skyle Labissiere, power forward from Kentucky. Number 12, Wade Baldwin, shooting guard from Vandy. At number 13, this is where I think Deontay Davis of Michigan State will land. And the Suns actually have three, yes, count them, three first-round draft picks, so they can afford a big swing here. Number 14, the Chicago Bulls will select Domantas Sabonis, power forward from Gonzaga. Number 15, Furkan Korkmaz, shooting guard from Turkey. Number 16, Timothy Luwanu, shooting guard from France. 17, the Memphis Grizzlies, Malachi Richardson, shooting guard from Syracuse. Number 18, my Detroit Pistons. This is where I think Denzel Valentine will land, shooting guard from Michigan State. Number 19, Denver Nuggets, Ante Zizek, center from Croatia. So a lot of international flavor here. And at number 20, DeJounte Murray, point guard from Washington. Isaac, what you got?
Number 11, I'm actually going with the Vanderbilt guy, Wade Baldwin. Number 12, I'm going to go with Jacob Poeltl from Utah. Number 13, Malik Beasley, freshman from Florida State. Number 14 at Chicago. Got them going international with Furkan Korkmaz out of Turkey. Number 15, that's where I see Henry Ellenson going also to Denver. Number 16, Boston. I see them kind of going a little bit off the board and picking Chike Diallo, a freshman from Kansas. Number 17 with Memphis. You know, I've gone back and forth on this one, but I'm actually going to go Ivica Zubac. I think they want a big guy too, and he's, of course, a Croatian, like you mentioned. Number 18, I've also got the exact same pick, Denzel Valentine going to Detroit. Makes it easy for us to discuss two things at the same time. Number 19, then I'm going Malachi Richardson to Denver as well. I think they like sort of that up-paced game. And number 20, Indiana, I've got DeAndre Bembry, who I also think is the biggest steal of the draft, possibly.
Okay, I like that list, Isaac. Well, we'll see who's right. Again, the draft tonight, 8 p.m. on ESPN. I'm looking forward to it. I always love watching the draft. All right, let's go to our phone lines right now. Again, you can call in to be a part of today's show. If you have any thoughts on the NBA draft or anything on your sports noggin, 517-355-WKAR. Let's go to line one. We've got Mike from Saginaw. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
How you been?
Oh, I'm great, my friend.
I was going to tell you, was the parade carried live? It was only on ESPN, right? The Cleveland Cavaliers parade.
You know, while it was going on, I happened to be at work, so I didn't get a chance to see it live. But I know it was live streamed. I think ESPN might have had it. I'm for sure NBA TV had it because they kept showing snippets throughout the entire day. So the only thing I caught was LeBron James's profanity-laced speech that lasted about 16 minutes. But hey, celebrate, turn up for Cleveland. It was fantastic to see the city just alive and filled with energy and emotion.
After you win a championship, I never seen them with the they didn't rest over for that night. They went right straight to Vegas. Would you respect, give them a pass for doing that, or would you kind of come down hard on them after they won a championship to go and celebrate like that?
Mike, Come on now. They just did something that's never been done in NBA history. They can celebrate however they want. I would have been right there with him. If I came back after being down 3-1 in the NBA Finals, I would have been on the plane with them to Vegas. I mean, come on. You can't criticize him for that. I mean, come on now.
All right, now, I ain't going to be a Jason Whitlock or a Colin Cowherd or nothing like that, man.
How should they have celebrated?
I understand that they did something extraordinary, come back from 3-1 and in the finals, man. That is extraordinary, but I was thinking about Golden State did that too in the last series. Remember to get to the championship.
Yeah, but again, nobody has ever done it in the NBA Finals, in a Game 7 where the cards were stacked against them. I mean, if I just make history like that in the NBA Finals and everybody is doubting you, I mean, yeah, I'm going to Vegas too. Come on now.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to say something about the draft before you talk to Denzel. You know what, man? I sit here, and Deion Davis, when he left after freshman year and the two guys from Washington left after freshman year, and I'm just thinking about they drafting all these forward players, and they've been professionals since they're 16 years old. And some of them have been even younger, they became professional. I just want to know what. Is it going to get to a point where the NBA draft is going to be, it's not that important. It's just like they just hoarding kids and hoping they would develop.
Well, Isaac, you want to take that one?
So what's the question again, Mike?
Yeah, can you repeat that question, Mike?
About the foreign players, some of them are professionals when they're 16 years old. I'm talking about the guys. And I'm talking about the college kids who stay in the college for 1 year, and then they come out a pro. And I was thinking about, do you think when the NBA draft, they drafting just you on potential and just waiting to see if you develop in 2 or 3 years before they even come to a decision on your, if they can use you?
Yeah, we've definitely seen that before in the NBA where it's potential loan. When Ricky Rubio was drafted, in fact, he waited 3 years before actually coming to America and playing with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And many of these foreign players' statistics aren't anything that special. Look at Dragan Bender or Kristaps Porzingis. They didn't even average 10 points a game overseas. So a lot of it's a potential question, and sometimes we see that work out well, but I say more times than not, we don't quite see that with overseas players. So it's always a risk. It's always a gamble. But, hey, go big or go home.
But you're dealing with human beings, too. I was thinking about football, how football does it. You know, they enroll people in the universities in January. And, I mean, they, instead of just letting them go to their senior years, there's a lot of universities recruiting kids, and they are not even finishing their last year of high school. So I can't just see where a day where the NBA is so worldwide and they drafting everybody from the continents, like from Europe and Asia, and even not from Africa yet. They go play on European teams. And I just, like Ben Simmons, for instance, you know, how many of those foreign-type players would come over to America and play college ball? And I take it off here. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. And, yeah, you see it all the time. And I think that, you know, the game of basketball has grown so much over time that you start to see more and more and more an influx of international talent. And it's been like this for years. It's not like this is anything new. I mean, you look at the San Antonio Spurs and, you know, some of their best players like Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. I mean, those are guys that came from overseas. So the game has grown so much internationally. And that's why I have to give a lot of, you know, it's kind of like a catch-22 when we discuss the impact that David Stern had on the NBA, because a lot of people like him, a lot of people don't like him, you know. But at the end of the day, you have to respect what David Stern brought to the table as far as growing and expanding the NBA into an international brand, not just one that is here in America. And that's something that I tip my cap off every single time I think about the international flavor that is today's NBA.
Well, it's possibly what makes David Stern's first ever draft pick, like you and I said, Hakeem Olajuwon,
fitting.
So memorable.
Yeah,
because
fitting, right?
He was an international player. He played his time in college at Houston, but he was born overseas. And it's totally fitting. I think you can never replace that impact that Stern had on broadening the game. You look at players who came from China, like Yao Ming, players who came like Dirk Nowitzki from Europe. It's just so many players all across the world, and we're seeing more and more come in now.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we hope to have Denzel Valentine on the line with us live from New York to discuss his his hopes and dreams of the NBA and making that dream come true. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Oh, the joys of live radio, I tell you. I know he's a busy man out there. I'm talking with the agent of Denzel Valentine right now, who, again, we hope to get Denzel Valentine around this time right now, 1:45 p.m. However, I just got a text from Denzel's agent, Lindsay, and the text says, "Hey, also sorry, this lunch is running behind. We won't be able to call in before 2 p.m. Eastern time. Hopefully we can set something up after." So I'm going to have to, after we get off the air, Isaac, give Lindsay a call and see if we can get Denzel for a pre-record maybe after the show. But Denzel is, for goodness sake, having dinner with Adam, well, lunch with Adam Silver as we speak. So that's pretty big. So I guess I understand. I understand.
Yeah, on your prom night, you don't really talk to, you know, the far away press or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the little guys.
Yeah, exactly. No, I can't blame them. It's New York. Enjoy it, Denzel.
Enjoy it, man. We hope to talk to Denzel sometime today. If not today, I would much rather have a live interview with him on tomorrow's show to talk about, because, I mean, you... You were joking, Isaac, and you were saying, yeah, let's just ask Denzel a bunch of questions about how does it feel to go 18th to the Pistons or something like that, right?
I mean, exactly.
It's impossible to ask what we want to ask if it's not in the moment, in the now, live. So we'll talk with Lindsay, and apologies to our listeners out there who are looking forward to that. But I promise you, we are going to get Denzel Valentine on our show this week over my dead body, all right? All right, well, less than 10 minutes left here in the show. And, you know, I want to move on now and talk about really briefly before we move on to the top draft bust of all time. I want to talk about the New York Knicks and the news that broke yesterday concerning now former Chicago Bulls guard Derrick Rose. The Knicks got a big get, in my opinion, in acquiring Rose from the Bulls. I mean, we're talking about a guy who was at the forefront of the league not too long ago before, of course, he was riddled with injuries. And we saw Derrick Rose finally, you know, play a season in the NBA relatively healthy. Relatively healthy. He did sit out here and there due to a few tweaks and, you know, minor injuries. But overall, you know, it was just good to see D. Rose playing the majority of an NBA year. And what we did see, though, in lieu of the absence of Rose, is other players forced to step into new roles. And one player in particular, Jimmy Butler, who I think is one of the best players in the NBA, it allowed Jimmy Butler to shine. And on any given night, I mean, it was pick your poison. I mean, Jimmy Butler was just as good, if not better, than Rose on any given night. And I think we started to see it at a certain point where Rose, you know, when he was a bit inconsistent as the year went on, we saw Jimmy Butler, you know, just take over. And it was his team. It was really Jimmy Butler's team. And Derrick Rose, you know, I was reading some reports when he got the news that he was going to be traded to the New York Knicks. It was kind of a catch-22 because he let it be known to the organization that if you guys were going to trade me, if there's a team that I would like to play for and I would embrace the pressure of playing for, it would be out in New York with the Knicks. But at the same time, we're talking about Derrick Rose, a man who grew up in the Chi, a man who's played for no other team throughout his NBA career, a man who was embraced by the Chicago fan base when he was at the top of his game. I mean, you couldn't turn on SportsCenter or any other sports network for that matter without seeing Derrick Rose on some sort of endorsement for a commercial. He was the man. And, you know, it's so tough to watch someone with the talent of Derrick Rose go through what he went through. And I'm really rooting for him out in New York. New York, you know, other than what, you know, Cleveland, New York, it's been a long, long time since the Knicks have won an NBA championship, okay? They couldn't do it in the 80s with that stout squad, with Patrick Ewing and John Starks and so on and so forth, due to Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time. The last championship we're talking about for the Knicks, you know, Walt Frazier was on the roster, okay? I think Walt is still doing Just for Men commercials now in his post-NBA career. So it's been a long, hurtful, just demise for the Knicks dating back decades now. And I think Derrick Rose is a player, bar him getting injured on the trip to New York. I think Derrick Rose is a player that can contribute, and I'm really excited to see how well Carmelo Anthony and Rose gel on the court.
And I thought it was a great move for the Knicks because they really didn't give up too much in the process. It wasn't as if they sacrificed their first overall draft pick. I mean, this is a team that gave up Robin Lopez, I think, a second-round draft pick. It's nothing that important for this team, Jose Calderon. I thought it was a great move overall for New York. But at the same time, this is a team that's still a far cry away from even competing for a championship. I saw a headline on ESPN that said New York gets its big three. And that's not the case. Kristaps Porzingis is not a big three member. Right. Carmelo Anthony is not a big three member, nor is Derrick Rose anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, you hear that thrown around a lot, the big three, when it comes to trifectas in the NBA. You know, I think you got to win something to be called a big three first off. Don't you believe? You know, I love Kristaps a lot. And props to Phil Jackson, because I didn't see that young man turning out to be the player that he was this past season. He was absolutely fantastic, and he shut up everybody that criticized, including myself, that criticized his draft pick in last year's draft to draft Porzingis. He's fantastic. I'm curious to see, you know, because looking at their respective games, I don't think that they will clash on the basketball court. Kristaps is a player who's a stretch forward, but he's got a polished game inside. He can burn you inside. Melo is a player who can score anywhere on the court. He's one of the best scorers that the NBA has ever seen. He can do so much. So he's not clashing with Porzingis when it comes to Porzingis' game. Derrick Rose is a point guard. You know, he runs the show. His job is to facilitate and score when need be. If Melo's having an off night, you know what I mean? Or if Kristaps is struggling. So I don't see, From an outside perspective here, I don't see their games clashing on the basketball court.
Yeah, nor do I. And I think this is a team that really, you know, is trying to just have three players kind of lead them a long way. And that's okay. I mean, some teams can work like that because Derrick Rose, he's a high-volume shooter. Melo, there's no more high-volume shooter in the NBA except for him. Mm-hmm. So, it's two guys who are going to be taking a large bit of the shots. But then you've got Kristaps Porzingis, who kind of finagles his way into positions. He's got a lot of second chance points. We saw at the start of last season him dunking all over people. I think it's a good fit between those three. New York, like I said, they're still a few pieces away. The bench isn't deep whatsoever. But at the same time, this is a winning move for that organization.
Certainly. All right. Well, I want to invite, before we get off the air here, I want to invite our fantastic production assistant, Seth Kinker, to the show right now. And Seth is a big NBA guy as well. Seth, first off, my man, I got to ask you, because you weren't a part of our mock draft here, what do you think Denzel Valentine and Deontay Davis are going to go tonight?
I don't know. I think Denzel might drop a little bit just because of those worries on his knees. But at the same time, I think that might be good for him. Teams not respecting that. And then we know how well Michigan State products work in the NBA. So I think that even if he does drop a little bit, that he'll be able to prove those people who passed on him wrong.
You think he'll go to Detroit? Could you see that? Or you think he goes later?
I could see it, but I can see him dropping too. But I hope he goes to Detroit. That'd be nice.
And the only reason Denzel Valentine would drop out of the top 20, Isaac, is because, and this is why I was really going to nitpick at this, because I was reading an article in the Lansing State Journal written by Graham Couch. Graham is, he's been covering this whole fiasco when it comes to, just Denzel, and he's out in New York. He's been covering Denzel's fiasco with his knee. It goes back, and I didn't know this, but it goes back to 2009, where he had a football injury, right? So he had surgery to repair cartilage that slipped or had been knocked off the bone. And it's got a specific name for what it's called, what the condition is called. Now, Dr. Julie Dodds, she's a renowned East Lansing orthopedic surgeon. She performed the procedure and, you know, she put the cartilage back in place with a couple of screws. Everything healed up nicely. The screws were taken out. Fine. Time goes on. The combine takes place for the NBA in May. You're like a specimen when you walk in at the NBA combine. Oh, I mean, yeah. Vertical leap, they look at your measurements, they do x-rays, they do everything just to make sure that you are 100% healthy, you know, to put out a full scouting report about your health to NBA execs out there. And they find that, an MRI scan showed something in his knee that made, you know, people look at the scan and say, that may be an issue. But again, in the article, Graham talks about this. I mean, you know, when you talk about an athlete of Valentine's size, you know, you're naturally going to have wear and tear on your knees, but it's not anything serious. I mean, Denzel Valentine is a guy who, you know, didn't miss many games, if any at all, while at Michigan State. And, you can count them on one hand how many games Denzel Valentine missed throughout his 4 years at Michigan State. So I don't know why this is such a problem. It just shows you how paranoid, you know, NBA execs are out there.
Well, and I can tell you why. It's because somebody, I'm not sure who said it first, but they name dropped the forbidden words in the NBA, Brandon Roy. Mm-hmm. When you said Brandon Roy, everybody scatters and it's like a huge comet is dropping. You just do not want to be anywhere near somebody who has that much potential, you spend so much time on, and then gets injured. It's really a worry for NBA execs, and I'm not sure if it will be of that magnitude. Of course, you certainly hope it doesn't, but I could see Denzel dropping because of that reason, and you know, I could also see a team like Charlotte picking him up. I know Michael Jordan loves those type of players who just win in college, or him going even further down to a team like San Antonio, and that would actually be the perfect situation for a guy like Denzel Valentine to settle into.
Yeah, certainly. I really wanted to ask him, I mean, how he's been dealing with those questions concerning his knee. Reporters have been poking that bear the entire week leading up to the NBA draft. But, we'll see. We'll see. All right, Seth, what are you looking forward to tonight, my man?
Just looking to see. Hopefully, personally, I was talking about it with Isaac before the show. Kay Felder, Oakland's Kay Felder. Hopefully, he gets drafted. See, anywhere he goes, that'd be awesome.
He's unbelievable, man. I posted a video on my Facebook page of Kay Felder, a spot with the Bleacher Report, and, you know, we got a chance to see him last summer, Isaac, and the kid is just the kid is amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. And he's got a ridiculous, probably the highest vertical leap out of anybody in
44 inches this year. 44. Yep.
He can shoot the basketball. He's going to be a remarkable player wherever he lands. So, all right, closing thought. Well, you know, I want to throw this out there, too. Less than a minute left here. What's your favorite NBA draft bust, Isaac?
Favorite bust? I'd have to go with, actually, Michael Olowokandi, because I think he's a forgotten one.
I like that one. Seth?
I'm going to go with Adam Morrison out of Gonzaga.
I remember Adam.
I loved watching him.
Adam Morrison was so good in college, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. The stash, so too. I love the stash. He rocked it out as long as he could.
I thought he was just a shoo-in for an all-star, and then he comes out and is like, what in the world? Mine, of course, personal for me, Darko Milicic, drafted by Detroit, number 2 overall, back in 2003. He's got a ring, though, right? They won in 04. So, all right, folks, well, we are out of time. Hey, enjoy the NBA draft tonight, and apologies for those that were looking forward to that Denzel Valentine interview. I promise we are going to get him on. Mark my words, all right? Thanks so much for you guys out there for listening anyway. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care, and be easy, people.